Welcome to Beauty and the Business Beast. My name's Debbie Lewis from Salon Angels, and today's episode is sponsored by Salon Socials.
How do you now support business owners? So obviously being a role model and having that inspirational and aspirational impact on people is great, but you offer more tangible support than that, don't you? You mentioned coaching. What's your full suite of support that you offer?
Okay, so the couple of things that I'm working at the moment is one-to-one coaching. I also create other products because I realize that, there are things that people need help with. So I've created things like a hair academy in a box. So it's basically somebody can buy a hair academy and from scratch, and one of my team will build it out for them. So that means that there's no kind of how do I create the website? What kind of memberships I need to create? That knowledge is what I can share with the person. All they've got to do is give me content, and I would then create that whole brand for them. So it really, again, it helps people get to their magnificence quicker than figuring out, okay, I'm going to spend 4 years procrastinating about a brand name and then another 4 years figuring out how to build websites and all of this sort of
thing. You've heard it all before. We are all in that camp.
I have been there.
All the gear, no idea.
Exactly.
I guess you are working with hair and beauty professionals who love educating. They've got a passion and they want to be able to share that expertise, but they don't know how to navigate online platforms. They don't know how to do the whole marketing campaign. Can you kind of cover that end to end?
Yes, exactly. From that strategy to the support that they need to create the thing. Because that is the thing that, you know, needs to happen. Once you've got the strategy in place, most people, so I've done courses where I've created a course called the Ultimate Digital Hair Academy. So I taught people, okay, how to teach online. But the thing that stopped people was the tech. So I thought, okay, what product do I need to do to help people get over the tech fear or the tech tantrums is to then create something called Hair Academy in a Box. So it's a done for you service. So it's really connecting end to end the idea that someone has and then the product, what they want to create. Now, reasons why I help people with the knowledge base product creation is because it's the quickest way to make money online. Alternatively, what you have to do is create a product range, go to manufacturers, and then get all of this takes time. And as a creative, most of us get bogged down. We just want to create. So it's really giving people an option to bypass all that frustration and get to the result as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and Chris has already walked me through this. We took a look at the platform and everything I said, but what about this? He just said, we do that for you. We do that for you. We can take care of that. So it literally is, you know, you don't need anything other than your idea of what you want it to look like at the end, or even just some pieces, and you help people to build that out. So I love that you are doing that. I understand that you also work with some young talent in the industry, and you're helping to empower and work on not only their creative skills, but mindset and that whole visioning piece as well. How's that working?
It's going very well. There's a program that I'm working with. It's a photographer called Andy Krujek. And again, it's helping people create great imagery. So that helps promote their brand. It's really the whole aspect from, you know, how you show up on stage, how you show up to get your work into magazines, because that helps promote files. All of these things. These things were normally years ago, you had to figure it out or you had to work with a big brand, and a big brand not necessarily would help people. The big brand would help people to a point for their benefit, not necessarily for the stylist's benefit. And as Instagram and Facebook has grown, we realize that the individual are more brands as they're in themselves, but yet they don't have the backing and the support that they'll get from a big brand. And you don't need that. I don't think people need that anymore. They just need to know they have a voice. They want to share something unique. So share it.
Yeah, you're an absolute accelerator. They can get from A to B by themselves, but they're going to get there a whole lot faster with your help. Exactly. So do you find that these industry creatives typically suffer from the same challenge or blocker or problem? Or are you seeing that it's a wide range of things that you're helping people with?
I see as a blocker, because I think one of the strategies that before I create anything and before most people create anything, you ask what the problems are. And I've seen it where I've created a course because people said they wanted this information. And then the next block is, oh, how do I implement? That's where coaching comes into play. And that's where sitting down with people and talking with people, getting over the mindset, and helping people in that respect is, you know, it's stopping that mindset block. Because I think as creators, as hair professionals, we do really think that this is just, if I get up in the morning and go behind that chair, this is all that I am or can be. And that, unfortunately, will kill our industry like nothing else will. And you can see right now, kind of mid, end, post-pandemic, less and less stylists are coming to our industry. Because I believe salon owners feel they don't want that person to go off and do what they need to do. And I really think that's a wrong thing. I think that's a really wrong mindset to have. I think it's important to empower people, to show them this is what can happen. And if I can, as a salon owner, help, or as an individual, get the support you need, then you are fully self-expressed. You want to stay in the industry. You want to be a better version of yourself to help other people in our industry. And I really think, yeah, if we don't change the way we look at the industry, more and more people will see people leave an industry like they're no tomorrow. I mean, I've spoken to a restaurateur who just says he just can't find hospitality staff. And I know I'm hearing on, so I'm not a salon owner, but I'm hearing on other platforms, people find it very difficult to find staff now. And that's because they just see right now, it's a low paid particular job, and they don't want to see any further than that.
Yeah, short-sighted.
Very short-sighted.
Huge, huge talent problem in our industry currently. And I 100% agree with you. And I, as an ex-salon owner, I had 47 team members at its largest. I understand the financial pressures and the frustrations of managing and trying to create a career path for everyone is different, is difficult, because everybody wants different things. But the trouble is, if you stop nurturing that talent, you're going to lose them. Richard Branson has got a phenomenal quote that I will share on the podcast cover, because I can't remember the exact wording, but it's something along the lines of, what if we train our people and they decide to leave? But actually, what if you decide not to train your people and they decide to stay? It is a really terrifying situation that the first thing that gets cut is inspiration and training budgets. So yeah, 100% agree with you. What's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given in your career history? Is there anyone that has really stuck with you as an amazing mentor who gave you great advice?
The one piece of advice I have had, and I use it as my mantra today, is innovate or die. Okay, being creative, constantly looking at opportunities, constantly being open to the creative process. If one doesn't do that, then people die creatively. They die in inspiration. They die in, I'm not saying physically death, but being innovative, being creative is fundamental in the lifeblood of us as hair professionals. Yeah. And now I've added on my tagline. So I have my tagline on top of that piece of advice was, innovate or die. That's my way of finding new ways to telling old stories. Excuse me. Yeah. Got my mention back, messed up slightly. So finding new ways of telling old stories, because nothing is original. We have to look at something and say, okay, we're all in this wheel and we all add our spokes. The wheel is already there. There's no point in rebuilding that wheel. Nothing as a creative is, you know, a bob is a bob, but we change it to our little quirks, you know. And nothing is started from fresh. We've all been taught by somebody, which means we've been influenced by somebody. But if we fail and sit back and wait for the magic time to happen, that's not going to happen. So we're constantly innovating, constantly thinking about creating something new to help people, then that is what's going to really help us. That's the most impactful advice that I've had. And I live by that. I die by that. Piece of advice.
I don't know about you. I'm conscious that every episode we have a little bit of a reminisce, but I remember being back in the staff rooms of old where we would fight over the publication that would drop, you know, whether that was Hairdressers International, whether that was Scratch Magazine, whether that was Professional Beauty. When it dropped, we couldn't wait to look at the pages. We would be talking about our idols of the day. I feel that less now, and I realize that media has changed, the way people consume content has changed, so it's much more accessible on mobile phones. But I don't know how you feel. I feel like some of that passion and grit and living the industry has gone currently. Have you got any thoughts about that or how we can bring it back?
I absolutely believe that you're right, because I remember, you're right, running, racing for the HJ or whatever magazine landed through the door, and seeing as to getting one of those was the pinnacle of one's career. And, you know, when I got into one of them, I'm like, ooh, you know, now it's not as impactful. Can it get back? I think these are different times, and the power that, you know, I remember like Noel Gallagher screaming about the fact that it's all streaming, he's not making much money, no one's buying CDs. That time is gone. We have to look at new ways now of impacting our industry, impacting new people coming in, using the tools like YouTube, mainly YouTube now, as a way of instruct people and helping people versus just going back to written magazines. The kids are not on those, unfortunately. It's just a different time. What I find is that, you know, us as creatives, if we don't look at these different medias and use them to our advantage, then you're going to get some person who is not qualified, jumps on and does a YouTube little skit about, oh, this is what I do with my hair. But there are so many well-trained, well-crafted people. I know it's going to take some time out of their day. I know it's going to take some time out of their schedule. But if they were to create something like that and create a audience behind them, they can be the vehicle for change. So that is how I see it. It's using different tools to get to people rather than traditionally getting those magazines. I mean, I don't have PR now because I don't see the point of going in those magazines. I really don't. It's just a different world. We are magazines. In terms of, I can do a podcast, I can do a YouTube, I can do it just like that. I don't need nobody to get that message out. Where in the past, to get one's message out, if one was a good hairdresser or a barber, is to go in these publications.
Oh, I'm so sad, but I do agree with you. I do agree with you. Things have changed and we need to change with it. Yeah. It's that whole innovation piece. So given that, if I gave you a magic wand, what would be the first thing that you would want to change or improve within the hair and beauty industry? Is there one thing that if you had ultimate power, you would want to switch up or improve?
Yes, the one thing I would love to do is help people become slightly open-minded and more positive about our industry. And I think people tend to, and I've seen it on social media platforms, you know, we are in this new time. There's nothing we can do about it in terms of what was the past. Now we're in this interesting era where we have to embrace change. So that, for me, the magic wand will help people to embrace change, embrace the fact that post-pandemic, people do things, are going to do things differently. We just have to adapt and we have to think outside, and dare I say, it sounds very cliched, outside the box. And I don't want to say, actually, let's scratch that from the podcast. I don't want to say outthink.
We can't you think. Said it, it's out there, it's too late.
It's too late.
We use that phrase.
Damn. All right. So this is how people think outside the box. It's just looking at new ways of. I remember one time someone said to me, they're not getting enough clients through the door. And you know, they just weren't thinking, you know, differently about the fact that people are going to think differently. So if they're thinking differently, you as the business owner has to think differently of attracting new people, new audiences to the location. It's just life.
100%. And I can't count on my fingers anymore the number of conversations I've had this year about the saturation of social media, paid advertising or organic. Is it used to be an untapped potential. You could go on social media and rave about your business and you would attract clients because no one else was doing it. Well, guess what? During COVID, everyone went online. Every salon in your town now has a digital presence. So what are you going to do differently? How do you switch that up now? Now, you've talked about YouTube being a massively underutilized resource. But I think it is that video content, that edutainment, that piece about, you know, showing people who you are, what skills you've got. Because as you mentioned, there's a million influencers out there, but they're not qualified professionals. So I see a massive gap in our market for qualified professionals to take that another level higher. So I challenge people to go out there and get it started, be the first. So throughout your illustrious career, that's been incredibly exciting. Has there been anyone who has been a huge influence for you or really that you've aspired to or wanted to emulate in your journey?
I've had many, many people that I've looked up to. One of the biggest influences in my career, and I can see him as... I deem as a great, great friend, is Errol Douglas. As a creative, as somebody has embraced this industry and is constantly a champion for it. His heart is so in this industry and his technical ability and what he does is phenomenal. So as somebody, one person who's influenced me in my outlook on the industry and how I want to give back, that's been Errol Douglas. Outside of the industry, the one of the biggest influence I've had is a creator called Steve Jobs, and he's a creator. You know, for me, being able to create something that people create a premium product that is mass market is just genius, and everybody. You know, you once you're in the ecosystem, you want to keep in the ecosystem because he's thought of everything, the customer service, the journey, the way these products are put together. That is phenomenal. And so, yes, as a person, those two people have been very influential in the way I look at what I do as a creator.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and so few people have replicated or been able to replicate what Steve Jobs has. Errol Douglas, I have met on a number of occasions and been blown away by what a humble man he is. And as you say, genuinely passionate about our industry and so approachable, so accessible. I know that you very kindly invited him into some of our Clubhouse rooms when we were first, you know, we were all living on Clubhouse during the last lockdown. And he just keeps it so real. So I'm so glad that you dropped his name in there. So, Chris, what do the next 12 months bring for you and for your business? Is there anything new that's coming or is it head down, eat, sleep, repeat?
No, it's as I'm just working on it today. It's the Hair Academy in a Box. That's the new product I'm working on. And, it's getting it to a point where I've got beta testers for it or just people who want to be a part of it. And help them to get their digital presence online. So it's creating that product, what that look and feel looks like, That is my main focus currently. It's also, again, continued the session work. I am doing some collaborations with a few other hairdressers and barbers to collaborate with them in their digital, create some digital courses. One of the courses is that I've got in mind is from, it's called From Barbershop to Backstage, and it's helping people who want to, who are in barbershop, who then want to go backstage or work on fashion on, and all those sorts of, have those sorts of opportunities. Opportunities which generally in the past is very hard to get. So giving people a clear step-by-step strategy of getting there versus the odd, you know, look at magazine and odd bits of information and try and piece it together. So that is something that's going to be quite interesting. I work with another hairdresser doing that. But yeah, I've got other programs that I'm still working with other people. So that's what I generally am doing. But my biggest project right now is the Academy in a Box, because I know that will help a lot of people, because we've got some great ideas. There's definitely roadblocks. And if I can obliterate that roadblock, I can definitely help more people monetize the years of knowledge they've got in their heads. And also what it, for me, it will help people when they realized, again, this is one of the reasons why I created this, was during lockdown, a lot of people had no income. And I think that vulnerability was very clear to see. And I'm not saying we're going to have another lockdown. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think people are more aware that the current trajectory of this industry, it does throw up some, you know, problems. If you're a service-based person, if you couldn't work, what happens next? So giving people the opportunity to have that plan B in place, monetizing, creating products, and creating services that people can tap into and help them financially get that security, I think that will be something that's going to really help people moving forward.
Absolutely. And most millionaires have multiple income streams. So exactly what you say. It's not about having another lockdown. It's about leveraging freedom for the future and having that financial freedom where you're no longer having to trade your time for someone else's money. So that's awesome. How can people stay in touch with you? Where can they find all of your updates and what you're up to? And how should they best get in touch?
I would say I have a few platforms that I'm on currently, and I'm still working, find time to do the YouTube thing. But the main place you can find me is, you can find me on eliteprofileacademy.com. which is an academy for my coaching. You also can find me on Instagram, theprofile.guy. You could also find me on my coaching website at www.theprofileguy.com. Those are the best place to find me. And if you want to know about my hair, the stuff I do for hair is Hair by
Chris Foster. Not your hair, because you haven't got any.
I haven't got any hair, but the hair I do. So those are the places you can find me hanging out online currently.
Sorry, Chris, I spoke over you. Where can they find you to look at your hair work?
Hair by Chris Foster. Awesome. Yeah, www. Hair by Chris Foster. I've also created a podcast, which I'm still working to kind of, I've got a few episodes on there, which is called The Profit Profile Podcast.
The Profit.
I love alliterations. I'm a big fan of like PPPs and AAAs. And so yeah, the Profit Profile Podcast. It's a bit of
I hear you. We have literally just this month started the pre-launch for our new social media card game. And it's called Social Shuffle. Try saying that when you've had a drink. It's incredibly difficult. So Social Shuffle.
Social Shuffle.
There you go. It's going to be out in September. And you're going to be finding me tripping over it every month.
But it does make sense. It does. You know, it's something that triggers someone's head. So Social Shuffle. I like it. I like that. I'm not here to, what does that mean, social shuffle? What was the idea?
You shuffle the deck of cards, you pick a card, And that is your content that you're going to create for the day. So one of the biggest blockers we find when we speak to, we do a lot of marketing meetups where we help salon owners to create their social media. They, by week three or week four, they kind of say, I don't know what to post about. I feel like all I do is post lashes or balayage, or, you know, I'm posting the same things. So we've created a deck of ideas that every day they just shuffle the deck, pick a card, and they have got something that they need to post about, whether that's their loyalty scheme or whether that's have a look at, you know, the approach from the outside, or tell us about your car parking, or stuff that you just don't think about when you're knee deep in it. But anyway, this is not about my product, Chris Foster. This is about you. So back to you to round off our session. Is there anything we haven't talked about today that you would love for us to cover off? If not, I have a final question for you.
I think I would love to, I would love people to use social media to create their own communities. Okay, this is something that people kind of don't do, and I think it's vital for the success of your business if you create your own community that you own and that you communicate with. So there is a project which I'm working on with a salon owner, and I'm getting all of her clients into her own social media product. So it's her videos, it's her podcast, it's her stuff. So they find all of the information about her and her business, and it's easier to promote the products or the podcast versus the service. So it's constantly on top of mind. They won't go too far because she's giving such value to her community. That is going to be the game changer moving forward. It's not being dictated to by algorithms, but creating your own ecosystem that you control completely. So that for me is the future of the industry. Well, I would say that's the best way of really future-proofing what we do as creatives, is that we have our own ecosystem who we communicate with.
That is such a sound piece of advice. I mean, algorithms aside, the amount of people I speak to whose accounts have been locked, shut down, deleted, they can't access them, they've been hacked. If you have not yet taken all of your followers off of those platforms and into your, whether that's an email list or your CRM or whatever you're doing to nurture them, make that your task for this week. You have got to protect and back up that list. And like Chris said, you know, that the algorithm will determine who sees your posts. If you are controlling that communication stream, all of your customers will see all of your posts, and imagine the impact that you could have if you could harness that. So I know that Chris is your guy if you want to be able to look at things like that. Chris, my final question for you is exhibitions. Will you be appearing at any of the exhibitions this year or next? And do you think there is still a place for professional exhibitions?
Wow. I used to live for exhibitions. Yeah. So I remember one time, you know, Sal International going on 5 stages in a day. It was just crazy. It used to be the pinnacle of what I did as a creative, you know, like physically showing people what, you know, the different stages, different things we were doing at the time. Is there stage page for it now? I think there will be a coming together of more people. But again, I think the way we consume content has changed, and that control and the quality of people going to exhibitions might change as well. So you might get not as good quality. Let's say if you're having an exhibition, the quality of people seeing the work that's on these exhibitions, that might change. I don't know why. Let me think that. Let me process that information. Excuse me.
Is that because you're not going to be presenting?
No. I don't do that kind of work anymore. So I'm not that type of creativity. I'm more coaching now. So I rather help people to do exhibitions versus me being on an exhibition. So you won't see me doing here at an exhibition, no. But I'll rather help people to get on stage at exhibitions. So yeah, that answered your question. No, you won't see me at exhibition doing here. But will I go to them? Yes, I will do it. And I would do it more strategically. So if I was to coach somebody, I would say, find out who's at the exhibition. Contact them away from the exhibition, go in, target them, speak to them face to face, and then get what you need out of those places rather than walking around aimlessly. And that's what people did in the past, because that's the only way you can see what's going on. Now we can see what's going on a video. We can see what's going on different things. Now we have to use our time and say, okay, if this is what I want to do or what I want to order, I'll go and speak to those people and make it strategic. So that's how I see exhibitions now versus in the past, just walking around the big booths and whatever else.
That's how please, can they still send us out the free merch? Because that really was the highlight.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do free merch anymore because that was the point, wasn't it? You're going for free, you get free merch. She was like, yeah,
amazing.
Win-win. Used to throw stuff out in the crowd. I used to work on the wall clipper stage. We used to throw stuff out, and there was a point where health and safety kicked in because you couldn't throw stuff out.
Somebody decapitated with a pair of clippers.
Yes. So yeah, I love the exhibitions, but I think it's good. I think things are changing slightly, and that, you know, I will still go to them for sure. You know, I think there is still a place for them moving forward. And I know there was a point pre-pandemic where there were so many that you had to choose where to go. I think, again, there's going to be less of those, more better quality exhibitions, I'm hoping. And I'm hoping that the audience will be better quality. But, you know, let's see what happens.
Oh, amazing. You, as I expected, have been an absolute legend. Thank you so, so much for sharing your time with us. If you want to connect with Chris, check out the intro to our podcast where we will list all those addresses for you. Please do give Chris a follow across all the socials. He often joins us on a Sunday night on Clubhouse as well in our salon surgery room. So if you have not already, do give him a follow and we will be back with you next month. Have an amazing September.
Thanks for joining me on Beauty and the Business Beast. My name's Debbie Lewis from Salon Angels. If you need business coaching, networking with other salon individuals, or recruitment solutions for your salon, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Find us on any of the social media channels. Just search Salon Angels. Thanks also to our sponsors of this episode, Salon Socials. They've created a fantastic social media planner to help you get organised and in control of your social media scheduling. And they also run an incredible Monday marketing meetup online every week between 12:30 and 1:30 to help you get set for the week ahead with your social media posting. We'll see you next time.